We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, the fourth and final quarter here. This is Ask Greg, our Penn State football and recruiting questions from you guys. Greg Pickle is here with me. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. He's going to fulfill your every need here on Ask Greg. We got a bunch of questions, some good questions here, and Greg's got a few more in his email that maybe we'll get to if we can. If you have the Keystone Sports app, there's an Ask Greg button there. I think a lot of you are familiar with that. If you don't have the app, you should get it anyway, but this is another good incentive to get it. You can also email questions to us, info@ksnsports.net. So Greg, each week we'll answer these questions.
That's right.
Ask Ross is another button there on the Keystone Sports app. Ross Tucker will answer your questions later in the week. Not as well as Greg, though.
No.
So let's start our buddy James from Midland, frequent question asker. What do you think was Penn State's best or most complete game of last season? Do you think they lost confidence or something else after the Ohio State loss?
That's an interesting
two-part question. We're throwing it back to last year. I like it.
Yeah, it's an interesting two-part question. Do I think they lost confidence after the Ohio State game? No, I just think that Penn State secondary and its pass rush didn't get the job done at Ohio. Against Ohio State, and then when it came to go out there to Michigan State, there were just so many factors in play, including that 3-hour rain disaster delay that really, really messed things up. So, no, I don't really think they lost confidence. I just don't think that things went their way. And, I mean, to me, there was no question that the most complete game was the home win over Michigan. I mean, they did everything right in that game. Michigan had 13 points. I couldn't even recall how, or I wouldn't be able to tell you much about what Michigan did well in that game, Dustin, because Penn State did everything right and made it pretty much not a game from the get-go.
So, yeah, Michigan closed within 14-13 late in the first half, a touchdown run by Ty Isaac. But, yeah, that was a dismantling. And then I also think the Fiesta Bowl against Washington was in that conversation. I think given the opponent and the magnitude and the break and all that stuff, I was impressed by how they played against Washington. 35-28, but, again, it the score was closer than it felt.
Right.
I mean, Penn State built that lead. I think there were people who were really started to get nervous, like, here we go again against Washington, but they definitely got the job done against the top 10 team. Really good showing there. As far as confidence goes, I just think that Penn State had a vulnerability, and at that stage of the season, when their defensive line, which already was not as experienced as you wanted it to be, but then you take a couple guys out of the mix, and that rotation suddenly, all the way through from 1 through 8 or however many guys they were using, got a little bit weaker. You were asking guys to do a little bit more. The pass rush just didn't show up late against Ohio State. JT Barrett could do whatever he wanted. He had all the time in the world. And you give him all that time, you see what happens. He was pretty much perfect late in that game in the second half.
Yeah.
And then Brian Lewerke wasn't a household name, but he took a step towards being a household name. He's a really good player too. And if you give him time, that's what's going to happen.
Yep.
So I think what bodes well for Penn State is that pass rush, as long as guys stay healthy, it should not have that degree of difficulty reaching the quarterback, even against good lines.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Dustin. Amen to that.
Amen. All right. Lance from Lewis Center, Ohio. If Tommy Stevens graduates this spring, will he still count a scholarship player? Also, what will he do until it's his turn to play quarterback in 2019? Look for a job, chase co-heads, take more classes. That question got better and better as I read it out loud.
Yeah.
All the above?
Probably a little all the above, no, except for the job part. But, I mean, yeah, he'll count as a scholarship guy even when he graduates. I don't even know if he is going to graduate this spring, to be honest. I feel like he probably would have pushed really hard to graduate in the spring if he knew he was going to leave, but I think he knew he was going to stay, so he may have dialed it back a little bit. So we'll try and get an answer on that. But, yeah, he'll still count against Penn State scholarship counter, and of course he will, because he's going to be in a position to play tight end, do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that, and, of course, also be the backup quarterback. So Penn State gets plenty of value out of him coming back as well.
What are the rules? So if you're on scholarship, you don't necessarily need to be a full-time 12-plus credits student, do you?
No.
You're just you're on scholarship or you're not.
No, I'm sorry. I think you do have to have at least a minimum of 12 credits. I think that's what it is. I'd have to double check.
That's why I think you see guys who end up chasing like multiple masters, for example.
Right. Well,
guys
yeah.
Guys who graduated in 3.5 years, who got their masters in short order, who get another one.
Right. Yeah. And you got to keep in mind too that you know when these guys graduate, they generally don't have anything to do except go do that master's kind of stuff. So it makes sense. They might only be taking a class or two, but yeah, that's how that plays out.
John from Arlington, Virginia says, I remember hearing that Penn State will be over the scholarship limit when the incoming class arrives this summer. How will they get down to 85? Do they expect two players to voluntarily ask to be released? Will the coaching staff have to cut a couple of players, or is anyone new who might be looking to gray shirt? Not sure how that all works.
Yeah, well, keep in mind that when Penn State and everybody else gives out scholarships, that they're only one-year deals. So if you had walk-ons that maybe got a scholarship, they won't have those renewed. I think you can always assume that a few guys are going to leave after spring practice. They'll wait until they graduate, which turns out to be this Saturday, May 5th. So, you know, they'll go through all of those things. And then, yeah, I mean, I think you go into it knowing you're going to have some work to do to get under the number. But you always know that past history says a few guys are going to leave, and that's generally enough to take care of things. And we don't know in that regard, too. I'm still watching for Torrence Brown to see what he does this year.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy to watch. And there's so much we don't know about the scholarship picture that we can only try to calculate in our own heads.
Right.
And obviously, we don't know what the conversations are behind the scenes. We don't know. You know, Penn State doesn't really ever confirm if player A is on scholarship or if player B is on scholarship. You just know guys who got recruited. And if there were news releases or whatever that says a walk-on got a scholarship, you know that. But I would not be comfortable commenting on the exact down to the scholarship,
right,
who's who kind of thing. This is Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg. We're taking your Penn State football and recruiting questions. James back from Midland. I'm sure James Franklin genuinely likes Keegan-Michael Key, but how much do you think he enjoys having a celebrity from Penn State hang around the program?
I'm confused about what I mean. There's a lot of people that hang around the program, high level celebrities, people that come in for different charitable causes, guest speakers that come in to talk to the team. I mean, I don't think James Franklin is all inspired by anybody. I think it might actually be the other way around a little bit, considering how big of a fan Keegan-Michael Key is of Penn State. So, yeah, that's a good question, I guess, but I don't think that, you know, it does a whole lot. I mean, it's good for Penn State promotionally and in terms of a brand building kind of thing, but other than that, I don't really think it's all that big of a deal.
I don't think it's an enjoyment thing, and I kind of talked about this a little bit last week. What week were you not here?
Was it last week? Yeah.
Last week, okay. There's still a void in my heart from you being here. I think that it's not about enjoyment as much as it is about strategy, and I think that having Keegan-Michael Key, who is a legitimate celebrity, a legitimate actor who does work that the 18-year-old demographic can appreciate and know, I think is strategic all the way, and it helps Penn State spring game stand out when you have a guy like that running around, when you have a guy like that who's proud to be connected to the program, who we've seen before, whose video clips have gone viral. I think there's some strategy involved here, and it's not to say that having Keegan-Michael Key around is going to turn Penn State into the number one recruiting force in the country,
right?
But I think it all helps. You know, it's all about the vibe that you create, especially in the spring game where
it just doesn't matter. It can get sleepy
yeah. And it can start to feel irrelevant. I think when you have a guy like that who people see on TV, who kids see on TV, I think it just brings a different dynamic to it. And I do believe that James Franklin knows and understands that. Why else would Keegan-Michael Key be sitting in the post-game news conference?
Right.
I use the word game loosely, the post-scrimmage news conference. Right. I think he wanted everybody who was hanging out above him to see that and understand that.
Absolutely. There's no question about it, Dustin. It is a recruiting tool as much as anything else.
Milt from Knox, PA. What's up with No Generations of Greatness game in 2018? I love the whole thing. Subtle references to uniforms of the past. Saquon taking to the house a la Billy White Shoes Johnson. These are unbelievable questions, phrasing of questions. And best of all, the band played old hits from the 50s onward. They could even bring back the black and pink uniforms if the band would play more oldies.
It's a novel suggestion we haven't heard before. Yeah, I don't know. I think that for Penn State, James Franklin's in this weird place where I think he'd like to do a lot more with the uniforms. If you need any more proof of that, just look at the fact that he's always wearing black or gray Penn State stuff compared to blue or white Penn State stuff. I mean, there's no question in my mind that a black and gray combo or black and pink, bringing that back would be something he'd be all about. But there's a lot of people that don't like to change the uniforms, and it's a branding thing when you do it. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think the Generations of Greatness game is a one-time thing. But keep in mind, too, that sort of promotion was announced in, like, June or July before last season started. So don't yet think that it's not going to happen, because it still could.
David from Milwaukee, similar questions. Any word, vibe, or hint about alternative uniforms or throwback jerseys for the 2018 nope. season?
No. And I mean, there's not going to be until Penn State puts it out there, because that's sort of the way they like to go about things. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming they'll do something special at some point, but what exactly that is, I have no idea.
Jeremy from Pittsburgh has a recruiting question here. Outside of Caden Wallace, it seems like the guys Penn State is recruiting the hardest they're losing out on, i.e. Shane Lee, the linebacker, three quarterbacks. Any concerns? Is there a position we can't afford to miss on this year?
I mean, I think every year we get into this little trap where we say that they have to get this, that, and the other thing done. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. The problem to me, Dustin, is that Penn State at linebacker and at defensive tackle, a little bit better in defensive tackle recruiting in 2018 than maybe the years before. But linebacker recruiting's just been a little bit weird. I know they get the three to come in, Parsons, Lucada, and Tar Burton's now a defensive end. But there's just time.
Charlie Catcher's in that
conversation as well. Wherever he ends up, we'll see. But yeah, it's just they seem to always struggle sometimes finding their top targets at that spot. So I think getting a guy like Brandon Smith to commit would be key there. And then other than that, it would be great, I think, to see a tight end come in. But there's just not many on the board. Jaleel Billingsley out of Chicago is really the only guy to keep an eye on. So maybe that would be easier said than done for Penn State.
Yeah, and I think safeties is another important area, and Penn State's got some good relationships with some top targets on that front. I think there's some pretty big-time D linemen who are still out there. You know, you obviously talk about Zach Harrison, Antonio Alfano, another offensive lineman, Xavier Truss, where Penn State's in the driver's seat. I'm not going to use any of this as a means to kind of pump the brakes and say that Penn State's struggling in any way recruiting. I think this is a small class. They're pursuing elite prospects, and sometimes it just goes this way. And Andre White, the Harrisburg linebacker, I don't include that in anything, because that came from so far out in left field. I'm not sure what to make of it. I don't think it's anything Penn State's doing wrong. All right, that's it for us on this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Be sure to download the Keystone Sports app. Ask Greg a question. We will read it next week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today, or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.